We're a little over 2 weeks into spring training so far. Well, almost 2 weeks in. And we got some standouts already early on in spring. So that's what we're here to talk about today. I'm your host, Darius Lott, and this is Second and King.
Welcome to Second and King, your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants. And now, here's your host, Darius Lott.
What's good, y'all? Welcome back to Second and King. I've been gone for a little bit. I meant to have an episode out Wednesday, but kind of got caught up with some other stuff. So my apologies with that. But I'm back now. Been following the team and everything that's been going on this spring happening with the Giants. And there's quite a bit to talk about. This actually wasn't even intentionally going to be my original topic for this episode. But I just felt like, yeah, you know what, there's a lot of interesting things and some interesting talking points going on with the team right now. So I decided no better place than right now than to talk about it. So let's get into it. So, yeah, spring training, like I said, is up and running. And there are a couple of standouts, you know, already this spring. And chief among them is Gerardo Encarnacion. The big slugger the Giants picked up, I believe, last season. They picked him up from the Marlins, and he's looking really good so far through spring. He's got in 8 games, I think, he's batting 360 with a 360 on base percentage, slugging 640 and a 1000 OPS with a home run. So he's looking pretty good, looking pretty sharp so far. And Encarnacion is an interesting, intriguing player for the Giants. Standing 6'4", 250 pounds, he has the potential to be the big slugger, you know, the middle-of-the-order bopper that the Giants have been looking for a while. And in the short time that he played in 2024, you kind of saw glimpses of that. And one of the things that I saw personally that stood out to me was his ability to hit to all fields. You know, he's got power going the other way. You know, he can take you out to straight center and he can pull the ball. So I think his approach is pretty good, pretty solid when it comes to, you know, when he comes up to the plate. And I'm really excited to see more of him. The real thing that really jumped out about him and his potential was prior to him coming to the Giants, I believe this is prior. I'm not sure. It's an independent league, but I don't know if it was winter ball or what. But Encarnacion, he played in Mexico, and I'm pulling up the numbers right now for the, oh God, I'm going to butcher this name, Guerreros de Oaxaca. That sounded terrible. I'm pretty sure that's not what it is, but in this independent league, in 26 games, he had an absurd slash line. Like, this almost doesn't look real. This looks like something somebody put up in MLB The Show. So, in the 26 games he played, 366 batting average, 439 on-base percentage. And I almost don't even know if that's real, what I'm reading right now. A 989 slugging and a 1.429 OPS. Like, that doesn't even sound real, but apparently it is. That's what he did. And, you know, he looks like a pretty solid hitter, you know, especially when he's given some consistent reps. And the way he's playing right now through spring, I know it's only spring training, you can't put a whole lot of stock into that. But so far, it's hard to ignore, you know, like there's definite potential there with Gerard Encarnacion, and he could be a big answer for the Giants going forward. So a little background here on Encarnacion. So signed by the Marlins as an international free agent way back in September of 2015. Then he debuted for the Marlins in 2016, you know, professionally, not in the big leagues. This was, I believe, a summer league. Played 2017 with the Gulf Coast Marlins, then 2018 with the Batavia Muck Dogs and Greensboro Grasshoppers, and in 2019 with the Clinton Lumber Kings and Jupiter Hammerheads. And then after, he was then moved to the Arizona Fall League. And then to protect him from the Rule 5 draft in 2020, the Marlins added him to the 40-man roster. And he spent 2021 in Double A, 63 games in Pensacola. I believe that's the Triple A affiliate. Didn't, you know, hit particularly well in that stint. But then he got the call the following season in 2022, where he debuted for the Marlins. And in his first major league hit was a grand slam against the Mets. So, and he didn't get, you know, but overall the season numbers weren't particularly great for him. They sent him back down at the start of the 2023 season. He hit .211. He did have 19 home runs and 54 RBIs. And they outrighted him to AAA after they cut him from the 40-man roster, the Marlins did. And he elected free agency. And then that's when he ended up in the Mexican League. And, you know, he put up those absurd numbers I just read to you. And apparently, you know, hey, Farhan Zaidi, you know, he recognized, you know, the potential there. So good on him for that. So he brought him in, and, you know, he looks to be in a very important piece for the Giants going into next season. And I'm really interested to see what he can do. They're talking about him, you know, potentially getting reps as the full-time DH. I'm not particularly a fan of full-time DHs, per se, only if, you know, they're a special kind of hitter, like they're at a different tier. You know, you have your David Ortiz's, your Edgar Martinez's, you know, certain players that it's like you need that bat in the lineup. You know, they're probably a defensive liability, but you need them in that lineup. They provide big time offense and huge upside, and potentially Gerard Encarnacion could be that. So he also can play. He can play a little outfield. Plays left. He plays corner outfield, and I think he's gotten some reps at first base too. So I don't know. First base, you know, we got the Wilmer Flores, Lamont Wade Jr. tandem, but I don't know. I could see a situation where if Wilmer is struggling per se, and they want to get better in that position, I could see Gerard potentially sliding into that platoon, maybe getting some opportunities there at the DH spot, maybe occasional starts in out in left field. I don't see it happening very often, but, you know, it's an option. And I haven't gotten a chance to look at his defensive metrics, so I don't know if that's something that the Giants feel entirely comfortable with, but we shall see. But yeah, Gerard Encarnacion is a name to definitely be keeping an eye out for coming into 2025. Another player that looks to be on a pretty strong start, I should say, you know, early in spring training is Jung-Hoo Lee. The Giants are getting him back after, you know, he missed the remainder of 2024 with that torn labrum. After he, you know, hit his left shoulder going for a ball in center field at Oracle Park. Yeah, he only played 37 games for the Giants. He hit .262, .310 on base, .331 slugging, 2 home runs, 8 RBIs. Fun fact, the home run, his first home run at Oracle Park, I was there. I was there for that game. And I got, it sent a jolt through the stadium for sure when he hit that home run, because I think they were playing the Diamondbacks. Yeah, they were playing the Diamondbacks, and Zach Gallen was on the mound, and the Diamondbacks had just, you know, scratched across a run in the first inning, you know, so it was already 1-0 Giants in the first. So he comes up, he leads off, and immediately puts energy back into the stadium with that solo shot to right. It got everyone going. So the spark plug for the Giants, hopefully, in 2025. You know, Lee came over from the KBO, from the Kiwoom Heroes, signed a six-year, $113 million deal with the Giants. And I really liked the signing then. I still like the signing. I think there's still a lot of really good potential with Jung-Hoo Lee for the Giants and the top at the top of this lineup. And, yeah, man, his spring, you know, he's off to a really strong start too, just like Encarnacion. In eight games, in the short eight games he's played, he's looked really good. Two home runs, 400 batting average, 478 OBP, slugging 750 and 1.228 OPS, you know. Small sample size, only eight games, but he's looking really good out there. And that's a good sign for the Giants, you know. Vested a lot in this guy last offseason. You want him to be healthy. You want him at the top of your lineup, you know, sparking this Giants team and getting this offense going. Although, you know, I talked about this in my three up, three down video segment here on the YouTube channel. They've been flirting with the idea of him hitting third in the batting order and having Lamont Wade Jr. lead off. I personally am not the biggest fan of that just because I think Lee's speed at the top of the lineup will be missed. I don't want to, you know, not have that there. That, because, again, I talked about it in that video. Somebody comes up after, say, you know, Lee gets a base hit, he can go first to third. Lamont, you know, he doesn't have the legs for that. You know, he's had a lot of lower leg injuries in his career. That's kind of why the Giants moved him from the outfield to the infield. Now he's a full-time first baseman. But, Lee doesn't seem to mind either or, it seems. He said he has no preference as far as where he hits in the lineup. And he batted third pretty often when he was in Korea in the KBO. You know, and I believe in his, I forget what year he won the MVP, but he hit third primarily that season. That was the season where he won the MVP. It was 2022, you know, and he drove in a career high 113 runs in that campaign. So there, I can see, because at first when I heard it, I was like, why would you take him and move him down in the lineup? Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, after reading, you know, from, I believe this is from Maria Guardado, shouts out to her. She's the one, when she spoke with Lee and his translator, that, you know, they pointed out, like, him batting third is nothing new for him. So it's why the Giants are comfortable, you know, exploring that idea. So now it kind of makes, I can give it a little bit more credence, you know, maybe help lengthen the lineup a little bit. But we'll see. They haven't committed to that one way or another. They're just kind of experimenting right now. Lee, through his interpreter, this is also from Maria Guardado, says, it does not matter what hole I play in the lineup, you know. I can be the eighth hole, ninth hole. If Bob puts me in the lineup, I'm playing that game. And I'm just going to show what's best for the team and get prepared for the team. I'm used to playing the third hole in Korea. It's a position where I say that I'm confident at. At the same time, every hole in the lineup, everybody has their own role. And if that's my role to do that day, then I'm doing it. So very unselfish is Jung-Hoo Lee. You know, he's very much a team guy, very much a team player. And that's good to hear him say something like that. But yeah, I look forward to getting a full, healthy year out of Jung-Hoo Lee. And one of the things that they pointed out, this is from Grant Brisby of The Athletic. He pointed out that Lee had cut down his strikeout rate considerably going back to, I believe this is going back to last year. And after going down on strikes 10 times in his first 80 at-bats, he only went down on strikes 5 times over his next 80. So he's making, you know, smarter decisions, better pitch recognition, and that makes it tougher for opposing pitchers, which is exactly what a team wants to see from potentially their leadoff hitter. And if he does that even in the three hole, that's even better. You know, you make their guy, make their life a little bit tougher, because it's like you can't just get this guy out with anything. You know, he won't chase. You know, he makes contact. He's got good speed. So, and when he made contact, he was hitting the ball with an above average exit velo of 89.1 miles per hour and a 42.1 hard hit rate. The other players that are kind of in that same vein are Luis Arraez of the Padres and Stephen Kwan of the Cleveland Guardians. You know, they kind of fall into that, I guess people say, the slap hitter, you know, high contact guy, heavy speed, high contact guy. Kind of a dying breed in baseball. Miss those guys. I love those guys. They're fun to watch, you know. Don't let anyone tell you any different, you know. High contact, speedy guys are still very much valued in this game. And they are valued by me as a fan. So, the hard contact and fast swing rate should turn into more production at the plate for him. It's already starting to look that way early in spring. And, you know, people are calling him potentially the Giants' X factor in the lineup. If he can have a really strong offensive showing, then that can permeate throughout the rest of the lineup. And I can potentially see that coming to fruition as well. Maria Guardado writes, this quote from Bob Melvin: "From day one of spring, you could see him make adjustments. The second time around playing teams in spring and understanding how he's going to be pitched. I thought he was on his way to having a really good year last year. We really missed him. I know there's not a lot of track record at the big leagues with him, but we still feel like he's got a real high ceiling. He's still a young guy, and he's really motivated to come back and play well this year." So, yeah. And the projections bear out some really good stuff for him. They got him hitting like in the high, like 200s, like 290. FanGraphs has him hitting 294, 14 home runs over 143 games. That would put him at like a 4 WAR. So I take that. And 14 home runs is nothing to sneeze at, especially for a leadoff guy. That's actually pretty awesome. So, and he's been playing hard out there. It's early spring, but, you know, he's mashing the ball. He's made some really nice defensive plays on the outfield. And you just, like, hold your breath a little bit, because while you like to see that competitive fire, it's like, it's spring training. Just don't overdo it, you know. We need you. We don't want to lose you again. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing more big things from Jung-Hoo Lee in 2025. Another player that's making big strides and making quite the early impression is right-handed pitcher Landon Roop. Landon Roop was brought up last year. I think he made the opening day roster in 2024, and he was slotted in the bullpen, and he didn't have a whole lot of time at the big league level. I believe he appeared in 23 games, but put up pretty decent numbers in that short time. 3.58 ERA, ERA plus of 108. Yeah, and he looked pretty effective in his outings when he came up. So, but spring, you know, he's been on a mission. He is somebody that is in contention for that fifth and final spot in the starting rotation. So the rotation goes Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, and Jordan Hicks. But that fifth spot is open. Buster Posey put a lot of faith in the young arms to give them a shot So three of them are vying for that fifth rotation spot. There's Kyle Harrison, left-handed prospect, former left-handed prospect, kind of had some, he showed some glimpses in his first couple of outings, his first couple of seasons. And then we saw Hayden Birdsong last season. He's the other one vying for that fifth spot. And he looked pretty good himself in certain areas. He just has to, you know, cut down on the walks and be able to stay in the strike zone. And then you have Landon Roop, who he just kind of, I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, but man, he, you know, he's been a bit of a revelation, you know, lately. You know, he signed with the Giants after he was taken in the 12th round back in 2021. So this is one of Farhan's picks. And does that say born in 1998? Oh, God. I feel so old, bro. 1998, dude. I was like a little kid trying to stay up Monday nights trying to watch like wrestling, like WWE Raw and like WCW Nitro. And this guy was born around that time. It's crazy. But, you know, tangent. Sorry. I just saw that and I was like, oh, man. But yeah, he signed with the Giants after, you know, they drafted him. Spent a lot of time in San Jose, Eugene, and Double A. But then March 28th of 2024, Giants added him to the opening day roster. You know, so he has an opportunity now potentially to crack the starting rotation. It's kind of an uphill battle a bit because, you know, he's got two other people to contend with, but if you right now, he might be the front runner given the way he's pitched so far this spring. In let's see, three games, you know, all of them being starts. And I know this is a small sample size, but it still is pretty impressive. He has not given up an earned run, so he doesn't have an ERA. One walk to 11 strikeouts, and his strikeout to walk ratio is insane. Like, I think it's at an 11 that they have it here. So, yeah, so far so good. He's a young guy. He's only 26 years old, I believe. He's 26. He's 26 years old. Yeah. So, hey, he's got his birthday's in September, like mine. That's what's up. But, yeah, he's definitely displaying some really good qualities and showing that he is somebody that the Giants could very well consider for that fifth spot. I remember in my first episode when I briefly touched on the Justin Verlander signing and how it gave me Randy Johnson to the Giants in 09 vibes and what that can mean for the rotation. Well, it's very early, but it seems like that effect is already taking hold, especially of one Landon Roop. This is a article here on MLB.com. Manny Rundhawa? Sorry, I probably butchered your name, good sir. I apologize. But the story was excerpted by Maria Guardado, Giants beat writer. And he talks about when Roop, you know, saw that the Giants brought in Justin Verlander. He's like, wow. Like, when he saw that, you know, Verlander's coming to the Giants, he's like, I'm going to get an opportunity to learn from a Hall of Famer, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, you know. And, you know, this Justin Verlander's done just about anything you could think of, you know, in baseball for a pitcher. Three-time Cy Young Awards. He's got a couple of World Series rings on his mantle. And he won an MVP as well, which, you know, in a spot where position players typically win that award, that's very impressive that he was able to walk away with the MVP. So more about what his influence has on young players, especially Roop. And he is, you know, Roop is one of those guys who's trying to not just get a spot on this team, you know, in a bigger role, but he's trying to, you know, get himself in a spot where he feels like he's comfortable. He has a routine as an everyday big leaguer. That's a lot of, that's a thing with a lot of our young guys going into this season, you know. And with that, he has a real chance to break out under, you know, Verlander's tutelage and, you know, putting in the work daily to be there. And you can see, you know, that he, you know, he recognizes there's a lot of work, but he definitely has put himself in position that the Giants might be like, well, maybe he's the one best slotted for that fifth spot, you know? So I love that the Giants, when it comes to their starting rotation, their pitching situation in general, like, it's very deep throughout the system. So, and Landon Roop is one of those guys that I'm really high on. I'm very excited to see what he could do. There was a sit-down interview Patrick Bailey did with Alex Pavlovic early in the spring, and they were talking about all three of the guys up for that spot. And when they talked about Roop, Bailey said, I think it's for him, it's just continuing to build off what he was doing last year. He might have finished up better than anybody we had, so it's just continuing to believe that what we did and the success we had is real. His stuff is nasty. His stuff is really good. It's just how many strikes can we get? Can we get count leverage and kind of keep hitters out of on their heels? You know, Roop posts one of the better curveballs in the game. He threw it 44% of the time. But he'll need a, you know, you look for a more varied arsenal, you know, especially if he's going to be a starter. Bailey complimented his changeup as well. You know, I think they only hit 111 against his changeup. You know, small sample size, but that's something worth noting. But yeah, there's catcher Patrick Bailey even showing his approval and praise for Landon Roop. And yeah, even if he doesn't end up cracking the starting rotation, say it goes to either Harrison or Birdsong, and I'm probably going to touch on this again in a later episode, but even if he can't, you know, crack the starting rotation, he has a very good chance to make the team in the bullpen, because like you said, like it was said, you know, his curveball and he had that changeup, those are effective pitches. He can use those very well to get out hitters, you know, in bullpen situations. And the Giants are looking for a bridge to Ryan Walker. They hope maybe that can be because they want Duvall in the eighth and Walker in the ninth, but like somebody for like the sixth or seventh to kind of get them there. That could be Landon Roop as well. So kind of worth highlighting him. I'm a big fan, and you know, the small dose that I've seen of him. And if he keeps up, then he's going to make it tough for the Giants to say no. And I love that. I love it when young guys, you know, push the issue and force the organization into a tough spot where it's like, well, we can't just ignore this, you know? So, yeah, shouts out to Landon Roop. He's turning heads. He's doing big things this spring. And hopefully, you know, he continues to see it through, and we could be in the midst of seeing another breakout Giant going into 2025. But yeah, just more about Roop as he competes for a rotation spot. He'll look to use that education that he has from a lot of the veterans like Verlander, Webb, you know, into actual results. But his stint in the bullpen last year could serve him very well. And the changeup, you know, you factor that in with his curveball. Apparently he's been working on a cutter too, so working on the different grips and everything. So yeah, there's a lot to like about him, and hopefully as he, you know, utilizes his curve with his change and, you know, gets that cutter going, or the cutter sinker, whatever he's working on, he can refine his repertoire, and I think he can definitely be a real candidate for the Giants rotation in 2025. And before we wrap up, I almost forgot that we had our first round of spring training cuts from the Giants camp. And the top two names that immediately stood out were Marco Luciano and Bryce Eldridge. They have been reassigned to minor league camp, and others, here are the other names. Mason Black, he was also an option. Raymond Burgos? I always butcher names. Miguel Del Pozo, Ethan Small, Kai Wei Tang, and Cole Waits. See, I got those names, see? But, yeah, not really a surprise. I don't think Eldridge was gonna make the team out of camp. He would have had to have been just really, really insane. Like that, what year was it? I think it was 2015 when Chris Bryant, when he was with the Cubs, was a rookie, and he had an insane spring, and they didn't really have like a permanent fixture, like a long-term solution at third base at that time, I don't believe. And despite that, they still decided, you're not going to start on the major league club still. So, you know, something about, you know, the manipulating the service time. But I could see a situation where I can't even say that, because even if he did have a strong spring, I could see the Giants be like, no, I don't know, he might not be ready. So I don't know. But yeah, it wasn't too surprising he got option to the minors. He had that loud like homer, the one he hit dead center 450 feet, but other than that, not a whole lot. I think 2 for 11 with 8 strikeouts, which might be concerning for some, but as you continue to climb the ranks in, you know, the system, you face a lot of tougher pitching. He's been in the PCL, Pacific Coast League. It's kind of an offensive-friendly environment. Not to say he's not good, because he is, but, you know, once you get to the big leagues, you know, those things kind of change. So I actually see it as an opportunity for him to grow and get better, you know. There's always been some swing and miss in his game, so that's not terribly surprising. That's just what it is. But, I think him going down, continuing to work on some things is good. The Giants will also want him playing every day, you know, so not just to get 3 or 4 at-bats. So, and it gives him a chance to work on defense as well. So I'm not terribly shocked by it. And it doesn't concern me at all that he had a overall kind of disappointing camp. It's a learning thing. It's a learning process. And I think with time, he'll just get better. And yeah, we'll see. As far as Marco Luciano is concerned, he came into camp, you know, he's been completely changed from the infield to the outfield. And I think the goal with him is to get him as comfortable as possible in that new role in outfield. So kind of the same thing as Eldridge, you know, get him playing every day, let him get his reps and things like that. He also didn't have the strongest spring offensively, went 2 for 19, didn't gain any traction, didn't force, you know, any kind of hand for the Giants in terms of like, ooh, he could be in consideration for that that fifth or fourth outfield spot. But no, it wasn't really clicking just yet for Marco Luciano. So again, his demotion isn't surprising either. So yeah, a couple of guys here that you know, just need to work on some things and still have potential. And I think the Giants just want them to continue to hone their craft and get better. Luciano is only 23. So there's, like I said in before, there's still a lot of time for him. And like same, there's way more time for Eldridge as well. He's only 20. As far as the other names, not a whole lot of them stand out. Mason Black kind of stands out a little bit. He's somebody that I think the Giants were kind of looking in that same vein as Landon Roop and others. Like, he might be a back-end rotation guy, or if not, he could be a solid guy out of the bullpen. Has not had a really good spring, like, at all. And I think that's me putting it mildly. Same thing with Cole Waits. He's somebody else that I think the Giants had a lot of high hopes for, but it gets them back into the development process. They can just continue to work on things, hone their craft, and hopefully we'll see them down the road much better results. But you know, that's it there. You know, Bryce Eldridge, Marco Luciano option. They've made the first round of cuts, so as we're getting closer and closer, you know, each passing day, we're getting closer to opening day, we're getting closer to regular season baseball, and getting closer to finding out what the Giants can do in 2025. But that's going to do it for this edition of Second and King. If you liked what you heard today, consider liking and subscribing to the channel here on YouTube. You can find me on things like Twitter, I will never call you X, Instagram, Blue Sky as well, at Second and King. If you're on YouTube, you'll see the handles down at the bottom here of the screen. I'm also on Spotify. I'm running into some issues right now with Apple Podcasts. I'm working on getting those resolved because they have yet to receive the second episode of the podcast, and I want to see if I can get that fixed so I can push that out to that feed as well as this one. So I'm working on it, guys. I appreciate your patience. I'm sorry for the delay and no updates for anybody of my listeners who are on Apple Podcasts that you haven't heard anything about that, or if you haven't seen any updates, that's why. So apologies there. Hopefully you'll still be with me going forward, and I'll make sure I'm a little bit more transparent about things that are going on. But that's it for this. I'll see you guys next time. We're probably going to talk about some of the more interesting position battles that are going on in camp, and you know, who's looking to have the edge there. So that's going to do it for me. Thank you as always for listening, and as always, go Giants.